Okay, draw them in here.
Boy,
yeah, I'm on. Sick bass, Jason.
I am thy Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
All the pure
delight of a single heart that before thy throne I stand. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel, chapter 5. The handwriting on the wall. Just a hand writing on the wall. Could you imagine that? Boy, what if that all of a sudden happened here tonight? A hand just appears, and all you see is the fingers and the part of the hand, and it starts writing on the wall. You think that might get your attention? You think you might be a little bit afraid? Imagine that happening. It's what happened here in Daniel chapter 5. And Daniel's going to get another great opportunity to speak for his God in front of pagan men, idolatrous people, people who worship all kinds of gods and idols and images. And he gets a chance to preach to them and tell them about his God. And so, let's start here. I'm going to read down to verse 9 to start off with. Belshazzar. Now, that's not Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar was the name given to Daniel. And Belteshazzar means Bel's prince. But Belshazzar, which is the name of this king of Babylon here, it means Bel, protect the king. I don't think Bel would do a very good job protecting this king after we're done here with this chapter. But Belshazzar is Nebuchadnezzar's son. Remember, we've already studied about Nebuchadnezzar. Last week we saw Nebuchadnezzar acknowledging the true God of heaven after he was cast out into the fields, and he finally realized that there was one greater than himself. This man had a son. His name was Belshazzar. And when Nebuchadnezzar died, Belshazzar became the king of the great empire of Babylon. So verse 1, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Would you keep your hand right there and now go to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4. Proverbs 31, verse 4. Now, what did we just read there? Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Proverbs 31, verse 4. Samuel's mother says this to him. Verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. All right, you want a drink? How about it? You ready to die? Then we'll give you some. Otherwise, we stay away from it. And wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Well, too bad Belshazzar didn't know this scripture. He would have been a lot better off not drinking with the thousands of his princes this night back here in Daniel chapter 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. I believe our own leader of our own country would do well to put the beer away and get his Bible out and start leading us in a godly manner instead of an ungodly manner. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Notice how wine is right in the middle of our story here. Drinking and drunkenness, intoxication, is right here as one of the main problems of this whole account. I tell you folks, Christians, we ought not to have anything to do with it. We should stay away from it, not drink it, not be associated with it at all. Be teetotalers, all right? That means total abstainers from alcoholic beverages. Just don't have anything to do with it. And you know what else? When you get a chance, speak out against it. Let it be known how you feel about it. And tell people how that you're glad that your Savior has kept you from it. And it's amazing how much and how often alcohol and sin and ungodliness and terrible things are matched together in the Word of God. All right, now I'll continue on. Verse 2. Belshazzar, whiles he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. Now, Belshazzar had conquered many nations, tongues and languages and peoples. But here tonight on our passage, he chooses to pick on the God of Israel. They had already ransacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And Nebuchadnezzar's army had already done that, and they carried off all the good vessels of the temple worship service, took it all out of there and carried it off into the land of Babylon. Probably put it in a treasure house and gloated over their great victory. Little did they know that God was allowing them to have that victory over Jerusalem and Israel simply to chasten the Israelites who were disobedient to their God up in heaven. It wasn't because Babylon was so great. It's because God permitted them to do that. But they thought their gods caused this and gave them the victory. And so they were gloating over their victory over the God of Israel. And after drinking wine, and notice in verse 2 it says, whiles he tasted the wine. He may not even have been drunken yet. So you know what? You do well not to even taste it. Well, I'm just going to taste it. Don't even taste it. It's amazing how much sin and wickedness and ungodliness has come from the result of alcoholism and drunkenness and intoxication. How many lives and families have been destroyed and messed up in our country alone and in modern days alone, let alone all the history of mankind with this thing. It started all the way back there in Noah's day when he came out of the ark He planted a vineyard, and next thing you know, he's drunk. Bad things come as a result of it. Stay away from it. That's your pastor talking to you, okay? He's saying to you, stay away from it. Don't give into it. If friends come around and say, hey, why don't we try this? You say, no, I can't do that. That's poison. Put that in your body. It's no good. And take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they took the vessels out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, verse 2. And the last part says that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines drank in them. Oh boy. You know who's watching all this? God. God in heaven is watching this. Seeing everything they're doing. And the hand is about to appear on the wall. And that hand is none other than the hand of God that's going to appear here in this room. Verse 4. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. They praised the gods. They were pagans. They worshipped idols. They worshipped gods that they had made up, created by themselves. They had gods for everything. They had gods for gold, gods for silver, gods for brass, iron, wood, and stone. And they worshipped them. And they praised them. And they probably said, oh, our God of gold gave us these vessels of gold from that country down there in Judea. Ha, ha, ha. What kind of a God must he be if he couldn't even keep us from taking his vessels out of his temple? All the while they praise their gods, the only true God up in heaven hears it. He knows what they're doing. And in verse 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. In other words, his facial expression changed. And his thoughts troubled him. He began to think, what's that? What is this? What's going on? His thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. You know, I can only give the illustration like this. Have you ever been out in cold weather and maybe don't have enough clothes on to keep you warm, and you start shivering and shaking because it's so cold? How many have ever had that happen to you? Raise your hand. All right. Well, there's no indication that that was the problem here, and I don't think it ever gets that cold in Babylon. Over there in Iraq, it doesn't get that cold, I don't think, ever. Maybe at nighttime or whatever. But nevertheless, this man's joints got loose. Every joint in him, he just, like jello, like a bowl of jello. And his knees smote one against the other. I don't know if there was any noise as a result of that or not. I know if some of your knees would hit each other, we'd probably hear some clicking and clanging and everything else going on. But this king was really troubled in his mind and his thoughts and what he was looking at in this hand that appeared writing something on the wall. Verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. Here we go again. We march these guys in and try to get them to tell us what God wants. You know, the world can't understand the things that be of God, for they are spiritually discerned, the Bible says. These men have no spiritual discernment. They have no lifeline to God. They don't know the true God. I like what it says. Hold on just a second here. Let me find this. Verse 13 says this. Then was Daniel brought in. Amen. We need a man of God here. But he hasn't come in yet. All right. Just the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, the astrologers. These are all the wise guys. All right. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished, or astonished. Verse 10, we see, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Wow. You know, everybody says that to the king, you know, O king, live forever. I only know one king that's going to live forever, and that's my King Jesus. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the only one who's going to live forever. These men thought that they could extend their lives or that they would never be defeated or anything. O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts, I'm continuing to read, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom. That's actually the phrase I wanted to find. There is a man in thy kingdom. Amen. Amen for a man in the kingdom who knows the true God and is not afraid to stand for the true God. We've already had lesson after lesson. Daniel taking his stand, purposing in his heart not to be defiled with the king's drink or the king's meat. His three friends refusing to bow down and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar's. And they went into the fiery furnace and God delivered them. Thank God that there is a man in thy kingdom. This queen says this to her son. Now, obviously, this queen is the mother or the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. And so she was there when Daniel interpreted the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had previously. So she knows all about this man, Daniel. Obviously, Belshazzar, the son, either wasn't around or didn't pay attention or they didn't teach him. Thank God for children being taught the Word of God. The good thing, good to see these young people here. Learning the Bible, hearing the stories of the Word of God, and getting a good, firm foundation for who God really is, the God of the Bible, and the God of the world, for that matter. There is a man in thy kingdom, the queen says to her son, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Well, there's the queen mother talking to her king son there. There is a man in your kingdom whom your father knew about, and obviously she knew about. Doesn't seem to indicate that she had total understanding about Daniel's God, because she says God's plural and so forth. But she had enough information about who this Daniel was, and that you need to call for this man. And call him in and have him help you. Well, Belshazzar, up to this point, we see him having a feast. He was a very proud man. They, of course, were drinking, and they did all these things with the vessels out of the temple of God. They blasphemed God by using the temple vessels of gold. I believe the same today as individuals say things about the Lord Jesus Christ that are not biblical. And they want to drag our Savior down and make Him to be just like all of us instead of keeping Him high and lifted up, the holy Son of God that He is. It just shames me to see these individuals say, well, our Savior would like rock and roll too. Our Savior would do hip hop too. Jesus is all for gay, lesbian relationships and so forth. Oh, no. No, not my Savior. Not the Jesus that I know in the Bible. Don't be bringing Him down. No, they were taking the vessels of the temple of God and using it for alcoholic drinking and having a great time there. They also were committing idolatry as they worshiped the gods of gold and silver and brass, iron, wood and stone. All these things they did. And God says, all right, we're going to stop this party. And with his hand, he comes down there and he writes above the candlestick where they could all see it. You know, God even knew where to write it. He didn't write it in a dark corner. He wrote it right over the candlestick so they could see it. You know what? God gives his word out and it's there. Men are going to be standing before God someday in the judgment without excuse. For God has revealed himself. I don't understand completely all how he all does that with everybody in the world, but there is not going to be a single person who stands in the judgment and says, you didn't tell me. You didn't want to show me. If necessary, he'll reveal it to us then as to how he did that. Every man's going to give account of himself before God someday. So God says, I'll go in that room and they'll all see this. He writes something on the wall with his hand, and he calls all the wise men in, and none of them are able to tell him what it says. They can't even read the writing, let alone give the interpretation thereof. Almost sounds like the lost trying to read the Word of God and understand it before they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Isn't it an interesting thing to watch when people, before they're saved, try and attempt to understand the Word of God? And then after they get saved, sometimes even momentarily after they get saved, if not maybe a few days after they get saved, they become very learned as to what the Bible says. It's amazing to see the quick turnaround that there is in one when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. One day they talk like fools about the Word of God. The next day after they get saved, they're full of wisdom. And I mean real godly, biblical wisdom they've got within one day of getting saved. It's amazing. It's wonderful to see. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. He comes in to stay in your heart after you get saved, and he helps you understand the Bible. He helps you understand what the preacher's saying. You say, boy, that makes sense now. Yeah, that's me. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. He's talking about me. He's preaching from the Bible now. And you begin to understand things you never could figure out before you were saved. These wise men come in, they can't understand the Word of God on the wall. It's the Word of God on the wall. They couldn't understand it. Well, the queen says you need to get this man in your kingdom. For he helped your father understand things. He had understanding in the Word of God. Bring him in, and he will show. Look at verse 12, the very end. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. You know, there was no doubt in this queen's mind about the ability of Daniel. So she knew something about Daniel, his God, and his ability that his God gave to him. And with complete confidence, she tells her son, who's sitting there like a bowl of jello, and his knees smiting against each other, scared stiff, call Daniel. He'll make known to you the interpretation thereof. Oh, amen, that Daniel was ready to go. I wonder, are you ready to stand for the Lord and speak up for him when the time comes? When opportunities come to speak to someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ, are you ready? Is your heart right with God so that you can be used by God in situations like this? Every one of us, me too, all of us, need to be close to the Lord like Daniel was. You're going to learn in the next chapter that he prayed three times a day talking to his God up in heaven. He obviously knew the scriptures that were available to him up to that point as well. He knew his God well. You and I need to know our God well. We need to talk to our God. We need to be ready to be used by God. Verse 13, and we want to read now down through, verse 16. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. See, I told you, you know, all men are going to give account of themselves someday. This man says, oh, you know, I've heard about you. Mm-hmm. Yes, and Belshazzar, you're going to stand before this man's God someday and give account as to why didn't you trust in the God of Daniel? Why didn't you believe in Daniel's God? Verse 13, and now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Wow. I know a lot of preachers who would just love this opportunity, you know. Ooh, money. Money. Popularity. I like our preacher here. Verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, yes, I'll use these to enhance my ministry. Thank you, Mr. Belshazzar, for taking care of this ministry, and we'll really use it for the honor and glory of the Lord. No, he didn't say that, did he? Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. You know what? I underlined that in my Bible. I like that. That's a good response. And I tell you what, if you've got a preacher like that, and I hope you do, we had a preacher like that this morning in our service. He's been preaching down there, and you know what? You know what he does for a living? Well, he's a minister. He's probably doing real well. I'll tell you what he's been doing. You know the water cooler back there that we have and those bottles on there? That guy has been delivering water bottles to businesses for the last 30-some years. And that's how he makes his living. That's the kind of preacher he is. Amen. And he preaches the word, preaches the truth. And he doesn't have to answer to any man or worry about where his next paycheck's going to come from. God's given him a job and he takes care of himself. Let thy gifts be to thyself, Daniel said, and give thy rewards to another. He didn't want anything to do with it. Daniel cares not to receive pay for preaching. You know, rewards of a condemned world or from a condemned world are of little worth. Anyway, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the rewards of this world? You can't take it to heaven. And the truth of the Word of God needs to be preached. The writing on that wall with that hand of God needs to be interpreted. It needs to be read, first of all, and then it needs to be interpreted. And we can't pay to get that information. That information needs to come from God and needs to be proclaimed by a minister of God. And a minister who isn't in it for the money, but a minister who's in it for the honor and glory of the Lord and to be faithful to his God. So Daniel gives the interpretation. Verse 18. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. You know, Daniel doesn't start right out, well, I'll tell you what it means. No, he says, he starts giving some background for this heathen, pagan king who is sitting there shaking, his knees smiting each other, holding possibly one of the vessels of the temple of God in Jerusalem in his hand with alcohol in it, and sitting there with all the rest of the people, the princes and wives and concubines. Even all that is ungodly, isn't it? Even that's wickedness. Fornication, adultery, all that garbage going on in this big, huge hall where the hand wrote on the wall. There's that king sitting there with that cup in his hand. And Daniel says, we need to teach you some things first. Then we'll get down to what God has to say. And he says to him, your daddy, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, had all the glory of a great kingdom and majesty and honor. Verse 19, and for the majesty that he gave him, all, and he says the Most High God gave him that majesty. He's trying to teach him right now. Belshazzar, your father had to learn that there is a most high God above you and above all the kings of this world. And you are responsible to a higher authority than yourself. And you're going to have to learn just like your father learned. And he begins to preach to him, verse 19, and for the majesty that he, God, gave him, all people, nations, languages, trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. That was Nebuchadnezzar's power. He could do that. If someone looked at him sideways and he didn't like it, off with his head. Kill him. That's the power this king Nebuchadnezzar had. Verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Didn't we read that already? We read that last week, right? His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this. So Daniel lets us know. And Belshazzar's without excuse here, sitting here holding on to these vessels from the temple of Jerusalem and drinking out of them and ha 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 and worshiping their gods and the gods of all these various metals, gold, silver, stone, which they made idols out of. There's no excuse for this. Amen for Daniel. You know what? Daniel's just preaching the word. He's preaching against the sin of this king. He's exposing his sin to him in hopes that he will repent. But he won't. You know what? Doesn't matter if men repent or not. You still need to preach the truth about their sinful condition to them. You still need to preach the truth. Don't ever get tired of hearing your preacher preach against and expose sin. Because this is what people need to have right in their face. They need to be told, you're a sinner. And your sin is against the holy God in heaven. And you need to get right with that God in heaven. There's not enough preaching against sin. I don't know about you, but I've listened to some of these preachers on the television, these big ministries and so forth. They can preach for a whole hour on the television and never get people convicted about the sinful condition that they're living in. And then they have the audacity at the end of a sweet, flowery message where they're, you know, self-help, self-esteem. But boy, you just think positive. And if you really try, you can get out there. Don't I almost sound and look like Joel Osteen right now, even with my white coat and everything? But they don't preach about the sinful condition that people are in and their need to repent and get right with God and have the blood of Christ cleanse them from their sins. They don't want to hear that because that's negative. But we need to hear that kind of preaching. That needs to be sounded forth from all the pulpits in America and around the world for that matter. You need to pray that it happens. Even though it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, we need to pray for it to happen anyway. And Lord, where there are still men faithfully preaching the Word of God, give them the strength and the wisdom to keep on preaching like that. I mean, Daniel's laying it right out here. I mean, Belshazzar could have commanded any one of his soldiers to say, kill this Daniel, I don't want to hear any more out of him. Daniel just stood there. And he said, verse 22, O thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone. And Brother Sam, you can get ready to play that music for me, all right? Sam? All right, I'm almost there. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. The gods you worship can't see, they don't hear, they don't know anything. Wow. We need to have preachers who will preach against idolatry. Boy, over there in India, we got Pastor Reddy. He does the same thing Daniel does to the people over there. They have thousands of gods over there. They worship everything. Snakes. They worship rats. Over in India. Birds. Fish. They worship all kinds of things over there. And he has to preach to them, look, these gods are no gods. There's a God up in heaven who sent his only begotten Son into the world to die on the cross for your sins. That's the true God. And he offers them a God like that instead of the gods of gold, silver, brass, wood, iron, stone. Well, we have a CD with a group singing a song about they have ears or they have eyes. Listen to this song. Go ahead, Sam, play it for us. Listen to these guys sing this song. I think this is great. They see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, I'm in verse 23, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Now he gets down to telling him what's written on the wall. After he's convicted him of sin, exposed his wickedness. You know, wouldn't have been, you know, Daniel knew what was on that wall. There's no sense of telling him exactly what that says until he tells him his sinful condition before a holy God. And then he says, here's what God says. Verse 25, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And from then on in the book of Daniel, Babylon is gone. And the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians arrive on the scene. And they become a world empire. After them, Greece would become a world empire. After Greece, Rome would become a world empire. All foretold by Daniel already in the book of Daniel. But what good was his scarlet robe and chain of gold that night, you know? And I'll make a third ruler in my kingdom. Yeah, well, your kingdom's going to be done tonight. Over. Finished. Kaput. Done. Why? Because the handwriting said, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You know, God knows everything. He knows everything that's going on. And he keeps records. And someday men are going to stand before God and give account for themselves. I hope you're saved. Hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Because then you won't be judged by God and cast into eternal hell. You'll be on His side. You'll be a child of God. I'd much rather be on that side than on the other side of things. Tekel, verse 27. Tekel means thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Oh, you're in big trouble, Belshazzar. Big trouble with God. And God is not happy. Perez, which is another form of that Upharsin word there. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. You will no longer be king, Belshazzar. Your kingdom is finished. It's done. And Babylon came to an end. Folks, Babylon represents, all throughout history, man's attempts to go contrary to God. And in the book of Revelation, the name Babylon comes up again in Revelation 17 and 18. And it's going to have a date of destruction by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's coming. And so all these things we read here are not only a story about a wicked man, but it's also prophetic. It's telling us that someday God will judge all the wicked kingdoms of men. And they're going to come to an end. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign over everything. So, Daniel takes his stand. And Daniel is still here now. Look in verse chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius. This is the new ruler, the new kingdom, the new empire. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. You know, a lot of times when one kingdom takes over another kingdom, they wipe out all the leaders. But in this case, Daniel survives. And he goes on into the next kingdom. And he's received well by Darius the Mede and given a place of leadership in the next empire. And that would go right on through. Isn't it something? When you take your stand for the Lord, God will take care of you. He'll watch over you. Take your stand for the Lord. And your God will be right there with you all the way through. If it even be in a fiery furnace, He'll be there. If it be in front of a wicked, pagan, drunken emperor like Belshazzar, He'll see you through. And preach the truth no matter what. Don't compromise. I can just imagine some of these preachers today standing in front of Belshazzar. Oh boy, they wouldn't have said what Daniel said. Thank God for men who take their stand all throughout history, in the Old Testament scriptures, the New Testament, and even in the church age. Thank God for men who take their stand. Boy, that board over there of missionaries, I tell you what, there's men standing. Those men are standing for the truth. And the women behind them are helping them stand for the truth. There's no better men than those individuals over there on that board, missionaries and national pastors that we support. These are the men that are like Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to speak against idolatry and image worship, and bowing down to idols, idols of Mary, idols of Joseph. Oh, I tell you what, that idol of Mary stands there as cold and lifeless as can be. Her hands can't move, her feet can't move. If you want to move her, they got to pick her up and carry her. What's the matter? Can't she move herself? No, because she is no God. And Joseph is no God. And all those saints they have in their images of them, that's false. It's idolatry. It's wickedness before God. We should not have any idols. Yeah, our church facility here is quite plain, isn't it? You don't see anything in here. We don't have any objects of worship. We don't have any crosses. We don't have the head of Jesus. We don't have any pictures of Mary and the Holy Family. It's just four walls with chairs and a pulpit up there and the Bible. And that's all we got. I do know we have some stained glass window. They were here when we bought the building. I would not have installed them myself. But they were here. So we leave them here. The sun shines through and makes pretty colors and so forth. But it doesn't make us worship God any better. You better worship God in spirit and in truth. These idols are idols that cannot see, smell. They got noses, but they cannot smell. I like that song. Oh, man. It's good to hear men sing a song like that. How about it? Will you take your stand for the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Do it. Take your stand. Support a good Bible-believing church. If you're not a member of one, I know a good one right here, Ray Street Baptist Church. Become a member. Get baptized. Make sure you're baptized, and then we'll get you into the membership and serve the Lord until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the example of Daniel once again. In And help us all to dare to be like Daniel. Help me, Lord, as a pastor, to be strong and faithful, preach the word no matter what. And may we not be in it for the money. Daniel said, keep thy money. Give it to somebody else. May we be in it because we're convinced that this is the truth and it needs to be heard. The words in that wall needed to be heard by Belshazzar, and the words of our Bible need to be heard by people round about. Help us to take tracks, speak often for the Lord, witness for you. Give us strength by the Spirit of God to do these things. We know Daniel had to have the Spirit of God on his side, and we do too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.